Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-County. Well, with me today, I have an old friend. He's not that old. I mean, he's younger than me, so it can't be that old. But he's been here before. And if you get a chance, you can go to our webpage and you can look up the Spotlight Shows. It's listen on demand, and you can actually hear his interview that I did with him, Jim Schell. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Jim, youngest of 13 children.
Correct.
Grew up here in Jerseyville, Illinois. Your dad passed away when, what, you were two?
I was two. Yeah.
2 years old?
Yep, he was 44.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And your mom basically had to...
Yeah, so my dad passed away when I was two, so my mom basically had to raise the 13 of us, and we had many different things. We had, you know, ways of making money and jobs to do it, but
and
yeah.
And y'all had to work.
Oh, we all
every
had
day,
to work.
Every day, starting early.
We all had to work every day, starting early, yes.
5 a.m., right?
5 a.m. was the typical, yes, starting time.
Just a quick rundown of all the different jobs you guys covered as the Schell family, because you were doing a lot of different things.
Sure. Well, when my dad passed away, he owned the Phillips 66 gas station here in town, and so my mom kept that for about 3 to 4 years, and we also had the ice business, which we delivered all the ice to all the grocery stores in the area, and then we had where people could come to or actually to our house and buy bags of ice, blocks of ice at the time when they came in the big 100 blocks, and we'd ship them down to the 50 to 25 pound blocks. And then we had the paper.
You had the paper route.
Then we had the paper business. And we had a snow cone business, a concession stand business too, going on at the same time. Yeah.
You learned how to work at an early age.
Yes. I learned how to work at an early age, for sure.
Well, and of course you're working now. You're working at Terrapin.
I'm working at Terrapin as a bartender there, having a great time working for Rick Edwards, which is awesome. He's a great guy to work for. The pizza's good, and the old fashions are really good. So you need to come out and get one. Yeah,
well,
for sure.
You know, I have been in the bar business for many years. I think, 20 some years. I've been in the business and coached a lot of bartenders, been around a lot of bar. I appreciate a good bartender. Okay. And I always love sitting at the bar. You know, Brenda and I go out, you know, we're always, you know, it's the two of us. We spend a lot of time together. And she goes, "You want to get a table over there in that corner where we can really talk?" Nah, let's sit at the bar. I like sitting at the bar.
There you go.
And she knows that now. She doesn't even question
doesn't
it.
Doesn't even ask. Yeah.
She just goes.
Well, we love having you there, that's for sure. Let's hear some of the best stories.
I know. So, of course, I was there the other night, and you started telling us a story, and it was very intriguing, about a job you had in college.
Yes.
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 And a lot of college kids, including myself, have had jobs. You know, my job wasn't near as exciting as your job, that's for sure. I mean, you had a great job. And the job was, you started off as a bellman. And then a doorman at the Marriott in St. Louis.
Yeah, so I was the bellman at the Marriott Pavilion, which was the hotel right across from Old Busch Stadium, right there on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And I was there for 4 years. Started out my first year as a bellman, and then the rest of my 3 years, I went out and became a doorman.
Yes, and explain to the listeners the job of a bellman.
So the job of the bellman is basically to take the guest's luggage up to the room and to familiarize them with the outlay of the hotel, the amenities that it offers, and once you get them up into the room, you make sure that their temperature is comfortable where they want it to be. You go get them ice in their ice bucket, bring that back to them, and just make sure their needs are taken care of, but whatever, at that time, when they first check into it. So you're kind of, besides the doorman, you're the second face of that, of their, you know, of the hotel. And so...
Okay, you did that for a year, and then, but you wanted to be a doorman.
I wanted to go outside and be a doorman because we made an extra 25 cents an hour, so...
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we, bellman at the time was making $2.75, doorman was making $3 an hour, so...
Now, how did you get a job, or why did you want that job? Because I know you had to apply for it, and what I understand, it wasn't easy.
Yeah, no. So the during that school year, I was in Asheville, North Carolina, going to school, and I was working for, or a buddy of mine was working for a hotel called the Grove Park Inn, which is a famous hotel in Asheville, North Carolina, where, you know, tons of presidents have stayed for. And he worked security there, and he got me on as a bellman there for weekends, during weekends, to work for one semester. And I planned on working, staying there for the summer, but I don't know, plans changed, and I came back home for the summer. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to try to get on at the Marriott. That's right next to the ballpark, and I figured that was going to be the best place to be, right there in the heat of things, right, you know, where all the action was.
And it was.
Oh, it was. It was a good time. I enjoyed it.
So was it easy to get that job?
No, not at all. I mean, I called the gentleman up that was the bell captain and talked to him several different times. I had to, you know, it took me about 2 weeks to get it. But still, I mean, I called him probably three times in the first week, and I called him three times in the second week, and finally said, all right, come in, and I want to interview. And so he interviewed me and offered me a job that day.
Cool. So in your interview, can you remember anything that stuck out while you got the job?
I think it was just me being persistent more so than anything else, really. Uh-huh. I think the because he kind of did a phone interview the first couple times I called. And when he got my resume, I went there, filled it out, you know, typical, gave it to the HR. And then, but I think it was just my persistence. And he did. He says, I got you tired of you calling me. And so, you know, being persistent is, I think that's important with any type of job you're trying to get.
Yes. Now, the cool thing about the job, as you were telling us the other night, was all the celebrities and all the baseball players that you got to meet firsthand.
Yeah, I met a lot of people. That is for sure, and that was really neat. I mean, I met anybody from the players like Ray Langford, the first time that he came up to be a Cardinal, they called him up. I was out there on the door at that time, and he was the first person that he kind of saw. I mean, besides coming through the airport, but it was neat to see Ray come in, and you knew he was coming in. That was, you know, they would let you know about the buzz that's going on. You say, welcome to being a Cardinal, you know, Ray, and taking him in, taking his luggage in, taking it into the hotel. You know, other peoples I met for sure was, you know, like Jack Buck was always in the hotel. Stan Musial was always in the hotel. Met Stan and became very friendly with him as far as he knew my name and knew who I was when I was a doorman.
I actually met Stan. Stan Musial came to my bar many years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He was out on a Sunday just like, beating around. It was him and another couple, him and his wife and another couple, and they came in and
here in town.
Yeah, at the Colonial Inn, the old Lorton Hotel. Yeah,
that's awesome.
They came in and got to meet him, and I dug out a baseball and he signed it and I put it up there. And nice guy, nice guy.
Yeah, he was a good guy. You know, one of my more memorable ones was Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I got to, that was my first year there when I was a bellman.
Oh.
And
when he was playing baseball?
No, he was playing basketball still. It was only his third year. It was like 1987 season, I'm pretty sure, right around there. Because he'd only been in the league 3 years. So he wasn't known as the big Michael Jordan yet. I mean, he was doing well, of course. But he came in for an exhibition game. And I don't remember who they played, but they came in probably, you know, September of sometime. And he sat in the lobby and probably at least 15, 20 minutes. And I could just sit there and talk to him for 15, 20 minutes. That was pretty cool.
I bet.
And people would walk by and they didn't bother him a bit because he wasn't Mike yet.
Uh-huh. So what did you guys talk about?
So, I don't know. I talked a little bit of basketball, but I talked more North Carolina stuff.
Some basketball with you.
Yeah, I talked a little bit of basketball, but I tried not to talk those type of things with the athletes or the celebrities that I met, what their profession is, because I'm sure they get that all the time.
Yes.
And we talked a lot about North Carolina because I went to school there for 2 years. He grew up there and lived there. So, yeah.
Yes. But there are some rules as a doorman and as a bellman. There's some rules with that job as far as celebrities.
Right. You were never allowed to ask for an autograph. That was automatic termination if you asked for an autograph. And you really weren't supposed to hound them, you know, much of all that. I mean,
had to be cordial.
Right. You had to be cordial. And if they engaged you in conversation, that's great. But they didn't want you really engaging them in conversation. And Mike was, he was just down there hanging out and engaged in conversation. It was it was a September day and hardly anybody was at the hotel in the afternoon. It was like a Saturday afternoon. So it was pretty neat.
So you worked there, you were going to college,
mm-hmm.
and you'd work there on the weekends.
I worked 5 days a week.
5 days a week?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
No. I worked 40 hours a week. I worked a 40-hour week there, so yeah.
So when you weren't going to school, when you weren't going to classes,
I was working. Yeah.
You were driving over and going to that job.
I was driving over there, yeah, because I was living in Eversville at the time.
Any other celebrities you'd like to mention?
Oh, I mean, I met, you know, like Harry Carey, Pete Rose, Franco Harris, Walter Payton. One night, Walter Payton had a severe allergy issues, and I drove around for about an hour and a half trying to get some allergy medicine for him and finding an opened pharmacy.
Yeah.
Because you think about this, it was back in 87. A, we didn't have cell phones, and B, there's not a lot of things were open 24 hours. I mean, Walgreens was not open 24 hours, things of that nature.
Yeah, so it was a different world.
It was a different, yeah, it was definitely a different world, different times. So, so he was very much appreciative of that and took care of me well for doing that. James Taylor. Let's see, Pete Townsend.
Yeah.
Keith Richards from The Who. I mean, Pete Townsend from The Who and Keith Richards from The Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
So those were neat because you'd get, you know, those guys would go, they played both, they both those guys played at Busch Stadium back in, I think it was in 88 or 89, right around there. But anyway, but they would come down the service elevator. We had a service elevator just strictly for hotel staff. And when those two guys were on it, or anybody from The Stones or anybody from The Who was on it, nobody else was really allowed to be on there. But it was security taking them up and down. But I had good friends in security, so they would call me and say, hey, I'm going up to get Keith Richards. Hey, I'm going up to get Townsend. You know, if you want to come up, meet me at the elevator.
Just so you can meet him?
So I can just get it. Yeah, and I just rode up in the elevator with him, basically, and down. You know, one of the two. So just so I could meet him. And, you know, it was basically just, hi, how you doing? You know,
yeah.
Great to meet you. But, yeah, just to meet him.
Yeah.
Really just say, hey, I met him.
And you were, like, how old then? 21?
Oh, I was 22 probably then, 22, yeah. 23.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Those ages, yeah.
And I know you made money. Of course, you made, what'd you say, $3?
Made $3 an hour. I was
$3 making, an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
Back in 19 what?
19 would have been 87 through 92. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's about when I first came to town in, so, in 87, 86. Yeah. So you were making $3 an hour, but you were making the good money on tips. You always got tipped.
Yeah, that's the whole deal is the tips.
Yeah.
Is making money on tips and, yeah, trying to get tips and catch tips and giving services to the guests that brings those. Yeah, that's where you make your good money.
Now, tips. You had a couple other rackets going on. I mean, you're making money off tips, you know, carrying your luggage, but you had a couple other things going on. You know, being an entrepreneur, being growing up as a shell kid, right?
Right.
You're always looking for ways to make money.
That's exactly right.
Right. You know,
that is exactly right.
That was the bottom line at the house.
Right.
Bring home some money.
When we were at the doing concessions at the fair, and we had to go up in the stands and hawk out the snow cones. You had to figure ways to make money there. So that's the same. I looked at that front drive. When I was the doorman, I looked at that front drive as my space, my territory, and how can I make the most money out of that? You know,
okay, so
that's what I did.
So what happened, if the listeners, this is what happened. So he had 5 parking spots right out in front of the hotel. Is that correct?
Actually, I had 8.
You had 8.
8, but I kept 3 open to for guests that were coming.
Yes, and you would, okay, so I tell us how you made money.
They
weren't your spots.
No, they weren't my spots. They were right in front of the hotel. And again, this is on Broadway in downtown St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And the Boatman's building was to the left of us, right across the street, Anthony's, which was a 5-star restaurant.
Right.
And then right next door was the Busch Stadium, old Busch Stadium. So I would get a lot of people that would want to come to the hotel and maybe just park there for an hour. And this is when downtown St. Louis was busy, so there was parking, you know, the parking meters were always busy and always full, so they really couldn't get that. They didn't have to go across the, you know, the block to get into a garage. They didn't want to do that, so I would sell those spaces, you know, in front of the hotel.
But you for tips?
For tips, yeah. They would tip, quote, unquote, tip me, yes, I guess you could say.
They would ask you, like, how much for a spot? Or?
You know, they'd say, well, hey, can I leave my car here? Depending on what they were doing. You know, if they were just going into the hotel for a half hour, yeah, sure, you can leave it here. And then they'd tip me, you know, fairly well, you know.
Yeah.
I'd let them know what the rates were across the street.
Well, what's fairly well?
So if they were just going into the hotel for a half hour, they, you know, they'd give me $20.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and that was worth about $50 or $60
right.
today.
Yeah, it'd be definitely, $50 or $60 today. And then if they're going to the ball game, they're going to be there for 2.5 hours, 3 hours. Now we're talking $50.
At least,
yeah.
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 Okay.
So
you had those spots out front.
I had those spots out front.
But of course, now if your boss knew that you were hustling them spots out front, you'd get fired, right?
Yes, if you knew I was hustling those spots, thanks for bringing that up, Chris. But yeah, if you knew I was hustling those spots, I'd get fired. So you always had to rotate the cars and make it not. They couldn't sit there in the same spot for 3 hours. So you always had to rotate the cars. Sometimes I'd go around the block. Sometimes we had valet. Towards my years, we got a valet system. So I'd work with my valet system and give them a little bit of a kickback and have them rotate the cars or put them in their valet system, then bring it back and make sure that car was going to be in the front on that front drive when the customer came back or the guest came back.
Yeah. I mean, you were busy. That was some hard work right there.
Well, yeah.
And carrying luggage.
And carrying luggage, yes.
You're keeping all that straight.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then you made some money off baseball tickets. How did you make money off baseball tickets?
Yeah, so I had a gentleman approach me one day. He was a season ticket holder, and he had a set of 8 tickets, 4 on the first baseline, 3 rows back, or 4 rows back, and I think 4 on the third baseline that was like 6 rows back. He was an older gentleman, didn't want to go anymore. It was just him and his wife, and I would buy those tickets from him. And so those tickets were $24, $20, I think, for a seat at that time, for a box seat.
Right.
And because I always had guests looking for tickets. I always had guests, hey, can I get some good seats? Can I know where I can get some good seats?
But you couldn't actually sell the tickets to the guests.
No,
right?
You couldn't actually sell the tickets to the guests because, once again, that was
against the rules.
Against the
They didn't want
rules.
You out there hustling tickets.
They didn't want me out there hustling tickets. They wanted me to bring in bags and into the hotel with guests, for sure.
So how'd you do it?
So I bought that gentleman's tickets, and I would just turn around and sell them to guests, but... I would let the guests know. I say, I don't have any tickets, but I know where you can get some. And I know a gentleman that would provide some for you. This is the row. This is the section. These are the seat numbers.
And know all about them.
I know all about them. And if you come back by, leave your money here and come back by 5 o'clock, or if it's an afternoon, if you come back by noon, they will be here.
Tickets.
And so, so that was just another opportunity to make a little extra money, out there. So yeah, I mean, I was kind of the concierge. I kind of looked at, but these big hotels have concierges that help the guests with dinner reservations. They help the guests with, if they want to go to Six Flags and things of that nature. I was the concierge out in front. I was helping the guests get to the ballpark. I was helping the concierge get to the, the guests get to the airport, whether it was for a cab or something of that nature. I was, was kind of, helping the guests out with other services they may need, so to say.
So was there any other ways that you could make a little extra money?
Yeah, there was, so for sure, there was the cabs, for example. A cabbie wanted to take the guests to the airport. They didn't want to go and take them, 3 blocks, 4
no.
blocks like that.
Right.
And we had a cab stand. That was the moneymaker, was taking them to the airport. So I had a deal worked out with the cabbies that if I would get, we'd have a big convention in town and they're all kind of leaving at the same time. I'd get a kickback for everybody I'd put back in their cab. I'd get $3 kickback for every person I put back in their cab. So, and these guys had station wagons. So for the guests, they had the option of either taking a cab, and that cab ride was going to cost them $35, or they had the option of taking this shuttle bus that would stop at every hotel, and it would take them about an hour and a half to get to the airport, where the cab took them about 20 minutes. So I would convince the guests that, hey, I can get you 4 people in this cab, and this, comfortably, and get you there for 20 minutes, and 20 minutes instead of an hour and a half. And I'd get a kickback from the cabbie. I'd get an extra tip from the guest because they would say, oh, yeah, that's great. Thanks for letting me know about that. It's just, once again, another opportunity to work and service the guest. This is what I looked at it.
Yeah, here's the funny thing. We're getting down to the end of this interview, right? And the great that you worked that job, you made good money, and you did these things that they didn't necessarily want you to do if you got caught doing them. You'd probably get fired, let go.
Probably so, yes.
Probably so. But you ended up getting fired. But it wasn't for any of those things.
I did.
Tell the listeners what you got fired for.
So I got let go for not taking a lunch, actually. We were a union company, and you were mandatory to take a 15-minute lunch at minimum, but it was usually typically a half-hour lunch. And if I wasn't out on the – if I was taking lunch, I wasn't making money out front. And so I
and
didn't
you
take
were
my
there
lunches.
To make money.
I was there to make money, and I didn't take my lunch. And so,
and you were a shell kid.
And so we had a new manager the old manager was okay with that, but we got a new manager in that didn't really like that. And so I did that a couple different times after being kind of warned that I needed to take it. And so I think I went and clocked out for like 2 minutes and came back up. And
he let you go.
And they let me go, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, and then you went on to bigger and better things.
Then I went on to bigger, better things. Yeah. It was towards the end of my college career, so I was probably going to be quitting here soon anyway. So
What was your next job?
Next job I did is I worked for a motivational company and sold motivational products and incentive award centers to companies, and then also set up speaker programs for motivational speakers like the Zig Ziglars of the world, you know, Tom Hopkins and people like that. Yeah,
that's a whole other show.
Yeah, that's a whole other show. The other thing I was going to say really quick, I know we're coming up into time, but yeah, my first year there when I was a doorman, I also was a beer vendor at Busch Stadium that same year. So I'd work in the morning at Busch Stadium, work the beer vendor at night, and if I had to be back in the morning, I'd sleep in the little bell closet out front. That was, you know, if they would have found that out too, they wouldn't appreciate that too. There was a little dormant bell closet out front on the porch. That yeah.
Hey, what can you share with young folks? Okay, as far as the key to be successful in working, you know, how do you. What's your keys? Shell Kid's key?
It's really fairly easy. A, to get there, you got to be persistent, and you got to really want the job, and you got to be persistent. You got to let them know that you want a job, and you got to let them know that you're going to do a good job for them. The other thing is just showing up. Show up on time, be there, and then when you're there, work.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do.
And pay attention.
And just find ways I just found different ways to make extra income through that. You know, like I said, I had that whole front drive that was my paradise of territory. And that's what I did.
Well, Jim, thanks so much for coming into the Spotlight Show today.
Thanks for having me again.
And listeners out there, Jim's always got a good story behind the bar. Catch him at
Terrapins. Please. Terrapins. Yeah, please come see me. Please do. Thanks, Chris.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.